The biggest problem with most church websites is that they don't attract new visitors. And there are some simple things that you can do to fix that problem. In this video, we're going to teach you all about them. We hope this helps you reach more people and grow. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping pastors and church leaders reach people the right way. Hosted by me, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host, Ian Hyatt. We're here to help your church see more visitors and grow. Hey guys, welcome to the Reach Right podcast, episode number 120. I am your host, Thomas Costello, and with me as always is my co-host,
Ian Hyatt. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, not much, man. We have a good conversation here today. We're going to be talking about what churches can do to get more traffic on their website in 2023. It'll apply here for the last couple months of 2022 still, but this will be trends to jump on as we move forward into the new year here. I think it's some good stuff. This is super important because still to this day, the vast majority of people are going to be on your church website before they show up in person. So really nailing some of these things here. My guess is you're probably doing some of these already as a church. You're probably not doing some of them. But if you could just take one thing from this episode and implement it well with excellence, I think it's going to make a profound impact on your church and the number of visitors you see. This is kind of, in my time in ministry, some of these things were really a part of our secret sauce, something that we did to see, you know, I took a church from a very small church that saw no visitors to a church that was seeing 12 or 13 visitors every week. And it was really a lot of this stuff that we're talking about here today. So I think it should be a good conversation.
I remember how excited you were whenever you started seeing more visitors there. And
it changes everything. That's why, like, seeing visitors, like, if I can't tell you how hard it is, and I maybe some of our audience is here, I have been in that place where we never saw visitors. And then, like, when you get visitors, it's like totally weird because, like, Christmas. Your church is so not used to having visitors that everybody gets all funny and they're kind of like they're on a first date and they're like trying to impress people. And it's like, it's just crazy. And so the best way to solve that is when you have this steady flow of having a dozen or 20 visitors a week, you really get some of these things nailed down. It becomes almost like regular and, you know, still something you want to make sure you nail those processes. But this is stuff that's really important.
So we use the words, getting more traffic on your website, that is what produces more visitors in person. Specifically. So, well, we got 10 key things we're going to be talking about here today, 10 things to do. Like we said, if there was only one that a pastor can apply, great. Or if they're doing all nine and we provided that extra one, awesome. But why don't I kick us off on the first point here, or thing to do, I should say. And it's kind of what we've already been talking about. We've heard you should design websites for your intended audience. And is that true, Thomas? And who is the intended audience?
very true. And here's something that I think a lot of churches miss is that we kind of give our two audiences equal weight on our website. And the two primary choices you have are targeting people that are a part of your church and targeting people that are not yet a part of your church. So insiders or outsiders, people that are there, people that are not. And in my experience, most churches mistakenly target the first category, people that are already a part of your church on your website. So the sermons are on the website are geared towards people that are already there. The events are for people that are already there. A lot of your content kind of assumes membership in some ways. And we kind of justify it and say, well, anybody can listen to the sermons or anybody's welcome to our events. But in most cases, you know, it's hard for someone to walk into your seniors Bible study event for the first time if they've never been to your church before. So really, we recommend that every church, you kind of give your website a once-over and view it as if you're looking at this website and you've never been to this church before, and you design with that in mind, that it's something that you're someone that's there for the first time. When we kind of have those eyes I think it really goes a long way. So absolutely, you want to design for your intended audience. And just to clear this up, your intended audience must be people that are not yet a part of your church.
Correct. Yep, correct. Couldn't have said that better. And you're right. We see churches falling into that trap. And you know, it makes sense, like you said. I mean, I think that, you know, when, you know, as pastors, ministry leaders, we see what's going on internally with our people. We know we're hearing from our people what they're wanting as far as content, you know, updates, events, sermons, and all of that. So naturally, when you're hearing all that from within, you're going to think of them first, and we get it. And you want to serve your members, but we can't forget that, again, for years now, like you said, everyone's getting on here, you know, for the first time, you know, before they visit. 85% of the time has been that stat we've seen out there for years that people will, and it hasn't changed.
And we've been doing this since 2006, Ian. We've been helping churches with this kind of stuff, and that has not changed. That's consistently been something that we keep reading out there all the time.
Yeah, but one thing we have seen change that we just covered is that your number one goal should be to reach visitors. And I think that's always been it. But you remember a time, it's funny, when you were talking and it reminded me of another company that you and I were at years and years ago when websites were new. And there used to be these three goals that were for the website. It was outreach, inreach, and upreach. And I think that we've moved away from that. And you know what that was? It's funny. It was, of course, we know what outreach is, reaching visitors. Yeah. The inreach is member communication. And then the upreach was it being a tool for leaders, your church leadership.
That's right.
So, and things have changed since that time with social media.
I totally forget that apps, that language that we used to use. That's so funny to think of that.
So we're not there anymore. So again, that point, again, number one target audience. It'll still serve.
I guess in the end, we want to build a website that glorifies God. You know, I think that is definitely, I don't want to minimize that. It should be an important part of what we do.
Yeah.
But I think God is most glorified when we're reaching more people and people are being drawn to Him. And so outreach is the focus. That's the way we think of this.
That's right. So, well, next one, clean design and navigation. It hasn't always been that way either, has it, that you wanted a clean design and navigation?
Yeah, I think that this is a general trend that we're seeing people move towards is a cleaner kind of a style on the site. And really, simplification is really the key with this here. So we're in the middle of doing a corporate redesign here for ReachRide. Yeah. We're working on our site. And we are stripping away so much of what is on our site. It kind of goes back to this saying that I don't know that I ever really fully got until recently, but content is king. And so if content is what matters most, we have to clear out a lot of the things that distract people. And then here's the other thing too, is that clean design, it helps make the main thing the main thing. So for churches, the main thing is calling people to action, usually to something like to visit us this Sunday, or maybe it's to listen or watch a sermon online, those kinds of things. And when you have like 12 other things that are busy and calling to people's attention and ads and all that kind of stuff for your upcoming events, and if you have several different calls to action in any one section, I think what that does is it takes away from the cleanliness or the clean look of the site there. So we are doing a monumental shift towards getting away from all the different calls to action and really simplifying our navigation. We're going with there's like one video on our homepage for our site and everything else will be text. So it's like, that's something that I think a lot of churches should be considering too.
Yep.
The text that you're putting on your site, you can do a lot of design with just fonts and typeface and those kinds of things. So moving towards that and away from lots of different photography and imagery, it still has its place. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
But the clean design, that kind of style, simple design is really the way we see things going.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, reminding me of our former days back when web design was totally different, and it used to be flash. You wanted. I remember seeing a website that you had lightning bolts and thunder, and then the pastor walked out onto the screen. And hey, you can communicate that you have a powerful church ministry without all of that now. But it used to be a thing, all that flash and everything. Now it's clean design for a good reason, I think. So that's good.
True.
So other thing that's very important and that can make things still appealing is video content. So how important is video content these days with website design?
More important than ever. It has never been more important today than all of history. So we've been through this whole thing. When we started out doing websites for churches and some of this design stuff, video wasn't a thing online yet. I don't know if you even remember that, but like you think back to 2006, you know, there were some early pioneers that were just starting to play with this, and but it wasn't something that you did. But now, video search results with video are become like that's one of the most important things you can actually put onto a certain page. Like if you want a page to rank when someone searches for it, having a video on there is one of the best ways to boost your rankings on things and get you more traffic on there. So it's more important than ever. My advice is that you should, the question should be more, what pages don't need video than what pages do need video?
Yeah.
But if I were doing a site here, I think I would try certainly to have a video on your homepage just to kind of give people a first impression of things. I would definitely have a welcome video from your pastor. And then I would probably try to create video around each one of your primary ministries.
Right.
So youth probably ought to have a video that describes what youth is about and why it's important. And kids probably ought to have a video because parents want to know what their kids are in for and if it's a safe place for them. And you need to have lots of video on your site. So certainly for all those, I would probably have a giving video on my give page that explains why we do this and the why behind that.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably a limit to this, but in general, your site probably doesn't have enough video on it.
Yep.
Yeah, you probably have sermons, and that's good. You probably have video sermons and keep having those. But I think actual like short form videos, these could even be vertical videos that are on your site, but just quick introductions to, hey, what is this? Or why is giving important? And why should your kids come to youth ministry? Anything we can do to deliver more of that, I think is a win.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we know it takes a little bit of work, you know, production goes into it, time, and all. I think that's why often we don't see enough of it, but it's worth it. And like you said, these need to be short anyway. So we're not talking about someone coming to your website to watch a movie. So, but yeah, so that's a good transition to our next one, online sermons and the experience there with those. So haven't we known for years that you want your sermons online?
Yep. We have. That's been something we've been doing the whole time. I think that we're at a place now where most churches are doing video when they're doing their online sermons. We, you know, 5 years ago, I'd say maybe 10% of churches were doing video week in and week out of their services. And I think it really is important. I think that there's a lot of different ways to set this up. On your website, I think you should have your complete sermons. In most cases, I think you should remove the worship component of your services. Even if you're live streaming every week and you're putting that out there so people that are at home can watch or connect if they're traveling, that's good. But I think on your actual archive of your church's site, it's important that you have your sermons on there. And I think I would just clip out just the sermon portion. So the fact is that in most cases, unless you have a really big budget to manage this, getting the sound of your worship to be really high quality or something that someone would to listen to your worship music on your website. If you're just putting a live stream on there and say, man, the worship here is off the hook. I got to go to this church. That's really hard to do. That doesn't happen very often. Only the largest churches are usually able to pull that off. But for most churches, really getting your sermons nailed and giving people an experience of what a Sunday morning is like there, I think that really is a huge help for you.
Big time, big time. So next one, build an interactive church website. Now we've been hearing for years, we want, you know, cause we again help churches with this and they say, I want my website to be interactive. How important is that still now?
Yeah, I mean, it's still really important. I think that the primary way that we see interaction is through things like comments and people adding in their feedback on things that are happening. And there's a few places that happens on your church website, the primary way would be on sermons. So right. you have a sermon on there, and whatever system you're using, it should allow for people to ask questions or give right. comments. And you obviously are able to moderate that. So if someone says that, you know, that it was a terrible sermon, pastor, yeah. so you can delete that.
right.
But so that area, I think most churches, it makes sense to have a blog, because I think that's another great way to make yeah. content. And if here's a kind of a trick that I see a lot of churches moving towards is if you're writing a church newsletter weekly, instead of putting all of the copy into your church newsletter, consider crafting that into a blog post that's targeting a very specific keyword. And I think that'll go a long way in helping you to build some momentum on there. But that's another place for interactivity. People can comment, yep. encourage comments, those yeah. kinds of things on there. So I think this is a really big opportunity for churches, because that is one of the biggest signals to Google and yeah. other search engines as to whether or not a page is valuable or helpful is, are a lot of people commenting on this? Are a lot of people yeah. putting in their two cents? Is there back and forth? Is there interactivity that's happening on there? That's why all of our posts on ReachRight that have a lot of comments on them, they seem to start to improve in search yeah. engine rankings. So yeah. do your best. Encourage your church members to, hey, hop on there. When you watch a sermon online, leave us a comment and let us know that you're doing that. Give us some feedback. Ask some questions. Start the conversation on there. That really goes to help you get more traffic on the site.
That's good stuff. And I think we also saw, again, in all the years of our experience with web design, social media changed, you know, the type of interactivity you wanted on your website. Do you remember there used to be, and I still see some of this out there, and it can still be effective, but I would say not as common or effective as it used to be. There used to be those prayer walls. You remember mm-hmm. where people can, you know, push prayer requests and comment on those. And of course, a lot of that stuff happens on social media now. Yeah, so yeah. It's changed those things, but still, hands down, all the other ways of response and those things are. But it used to be the website was the only hub of interaction, so that's not right. the case now.
Yeah. If I was pastoring a church, I would probably not try to build a. I guess it's basically a forum on your site. So I wouldn't try to make my own prayer wall unless I was pastoring a very large church. I think it makes sense if you're a church of 5,000 people, you yeah. have enough critical mass to like get enough yeah. prayer requests on there constantly. Yeah. You're pastoring a church of 150 people, you might yeah. see one prayer request on there every 6 weeks and yep. people just never go back to look at it. And it just right. kind of dies on the vine that way. So I think you push a lot of that onto social media still. But some of these other things we're talking about are great ways to build your interactivity still.
Yeah, good. Next one is mobile-friendly design. Shouldn't that be a no-brainer now?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah. 63%, that's the number today of the percentage of traffic online that is on a mobile device. 63%. So I still see most churches, when they look at websites or they're considering how to redesign their website, they're not looking on a phone. They're looking on a desktop or a laptop computer, and yeah. they're seeing how it looks there. And then we check our phones afterwards and say, okay, what does it look like on a phone? It really should be the opposite. How does this look on a phone?
Yeah.
And then, well, it looks okay on a desktop or laptop as well. That's how you should think about these things. But yeah, if you don't have a good mobile version of your site, if it's not mobile friendly, I mean, that's nearly two thirds, like two yeah. out of every three. There's two people that are seeing it on a mobile device for every person that's seeing it on a desktop or laptop yep. device. So
it's huge.
All of your attention should be first and foremost on that mobile experience there. So there's some things that go along with that, but just making sure you have a really good navigation experience,
yeah.
making sure your players for your sermons are as big as they can get on a mobile device, making sure your text is legible on there, and just that it's easy to navigate, that's really what matters most.
Yeah, agreed. And I think a lot of churches, they've, for the last several years, checked the box by saying, oh yeah, we have a mobile responsive theme, and you should have a mobile responsive website, but it goes further than that for a good mobile experience. Like you said, navigation and those things there too. So that's good. So this next one here is interesting: page speed and website load time. So I don't think we used to hear much about that as much back in the day, but now I think people are starting to catch, pastors, ministry leaders are starting to catch on that that's important.
They are, and here's the reason why. It has to do with the last point, is that with the rise of mobile devices and the assumption that people are often looking at your site and they're not on a home Wi-Fi or an office Wi-Fi system. They're looking at it on a phone, and they're looking at it over, you know, maybe 5G, but sometimes 4G, yeah, sometimes, unfortunately, 3G. Like, your load times, they really become vitally important,
yeah,
because you need the site to load quickly. And Google has told us that for sites that don't load quickly, there are going to be penalties, and there, yeah, are penalties that come with that. So,
yep,
your page speed is of the utmost importance when it comes to this. So, a couple of tools I would recommend. The one that we go to, there's one, Google has a first party one, Google Page Speed Insights. You can take a look at that. Just Google that. I like one called GT Metrics, and Metrics is metrix.com, GT Metrics. Do a Google search for it. You'll find it there, or it's in the notes down below. But GTmetrics.com, they do a fantastic job of giving you great details on your load times,
yeah,
where your load times aren't good. It's a little bit more technical, and so is Google's tool. There's another one called Pingdom Tools. You do a search for Pingdom Tools, you can get that information there too. But check your site on some of, yeah, these. See how long it takes to load. They'll usually give you grades, like that one GT Metrics. Mm-hmm. They give you like a percentage grade of 100%, or I think our site is in like the mid-90s typically is what we look at there. Don't get hung up on not having 100. You know, even YouTube is at like a 70. So it's like, don't feel like you have to get 100 or else you're failing.
Right.
But yeah, try to grow that score. In most cases, if you haven't paid attention to it, you're going to be in the 70s, maybe even the 60s. So take a look at GT Metrics. It'll give you some insights on how to make a fix there.
That's all good. Good stuff. So next one here, choose the right platform in 2023 for your website. So there's a lot of them out there, right?
Yep. We did a whole episode on why WordPress we think is the best platform for, yeah, anybody, but I think especially for churches, because they are so well-funded. There's such an enormous development community. There are so many plugins out there for just about anything you could imagine. When it comes to normal things that churches are going to use it for, like events and registration forms and sermons, there's no shortage of options. There's dozens, yeah, of options for sermons. There's probably hundreds of options for events and forms. There's a few of them that are the best. We have a whole podcast episode about the best WordPress plugins for churches and our recommendations there. But I would strongly encourage churches to look at WordPress. And the reason for that is a lot of the things we've already been mentioning. It's great at speed. It is very clean code, especially if you get a right kind of theme. It can be, yeah, really clean and fast. It's really great for mobile friendliness if designed well. It's really easy to do those kinds of things. Content uploads, video displaying, all that kind of stuff make WordPress really a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
On top of that, WordPress.org is totally free. You'll have, yeah, to pay for some other things in most cases unless you're a theme builder yourself, but there is no monthly cost to use the WordPress software. It's 100% free, and it is the largest community of content management systems out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, to me, stop your search, go with WordPress. It's really a no-brainer.
Agreed. We love it. So next one, a church domain name and hosting is really important in considering how to have a great site in 2023. You know, I still see, there's still so many bad domain names out there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there really are.
For churches specifically, yes.
Yeah, so it's, there's a lot of, there's, this is more art than science, I would say, but, yeah, there are some things that we've picked up when it comes to domain names that churches really need to be aware of, and just organizations in general. So number one, I'll say this, I love the .church domain name suffix. So if I had to choose, I would still say .com is the best root domain, kind of having that, a .com, a top level domain is what that's called. So a .com is best.
Yeah.
For a church, I would say .church would be my second choice. Yeah. And you can buy these on GoDaddy or Google Domains or any site you want, but you can get a .church domain. That is a really good choice as well. After that, I would say probably .org and then maybe, yeah, .net. I know for a while there was a lot of .tvs.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of stuff that you can
biz,
do out there.
There was a .biz.
Yeah, I would, yeah, I would encourage you
stay
against
away from that
.biz.
One. Yes, yeah.
That's not one that I would go for as a church. So a couple of rules of thumb on this. I want to share these. So number one, You want shorter is better than longer. So you want to be shorter. So it's probably not good to have your church name and your city name. So if your church like yours is Celebration Church Austin,
yeah.
CelebrationChurchAustin.com is too long. You don't want something like that. You would rather have something shorter. If you have a shorter name, it's usually okay. So the last church I pastored was Journey Madison, JourneyMadison.com. You can find that there. So it's something that you would, it's easier to find those kinds of things to do it that way. So I would also caution against going with hyphens. So you don't want, you know, Madison-Church.
Yeah.
I would caution you very strongly about going with any numbers in your domain. In general, stay away from that unless you have a really important reason. Like if so, there's a church called 12 Stone Church. Well, that makes sense. If that's the name of your church, 1-2 Stone,
yeah,
that makes sense to do it that way. So biggest caution of all, if you're hearing this and you have a domain name already, and even if it's not your favorite, even if it's a little bit on the longer side or anything, there is tremendous value in having a domain name that's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
Because starting out a new site, it is really hard to get those to start to rank again on search engines when you're starting brand new from scratch. You have to work on building links. And one of the big factors that Google looks at is the domain age. How long has this domain been around there? If something is 6 months old, Google makes some assumptions and says, well, that might not be as important as this site here that's been around for 17 years.
Mm.
So I would usually caution a church, unless you've like changed your name and it just doesn't make sense anymore, but the value of changing from FBC Austin to First Baptist Austin or vice versa, it probably doesn't make sense if you already have one, just because there's so much value in a domain name that's been in use for some time and has some links going to it already.
Yeah, good point. Last and certainly most, not least, is have a solid SEO strategy with your website.
Yeah, this is huge. I really think that so many churches miss out on this low-hanging fruit of really doing something, even if it's just basic level, but getting the SEO part right. And here's the thing that I've picked up is that most churches don't know what SEO means. I think most people don't know what SEO actually means. Of course, it stands for search engine optimization, but people have this understanding that it's something that is like hyper technical and it's all this code behind the site. And that's why every church website software out there says like ambiguously that we're SEO optimized.
Yeah.
Really, that doesn't mean anything at all. It just means if I was saying something was SEO optimized as a software, it means that it probably loads quickly and there's some tools to get your keywords in there to put them in or kind of check them there. But man, SEO, it really comes down to those things. Yeah, getting your page to load quickly and stuff. But honestly, it comes down to two things. What are you talking about? What keywords are you using? What are you writing about on your site? And who is linking to you? You have most control over the first one that I just mentioned. What are you talking about on your website? You have a little bit of control over who's linking to you. But what churches, like kind of, if you're just looking for a once-over, something you can do to give yourself a quick check, well, you can head to our website. We'll do a full SEO audit for you for free. Just click on local SEO on there when you see that on the site. You can learn all about how you can do a free audit and give you some marching orders for that. We have some great ways to do that. But if you're just looking for a couple of quick hits, quick wins on this here, you need to start using the word church and your city name in more places, specifically on your homepage or your like plan your visit page.
Mm-hmm.
Use those terms a few times on each one of those pages. This is especially true for churches that don't have the word church in their name.
Yeah.
Find a way to use the word church on that page because that signals to Google and other search engines that this page is for a church and about a church, and people that are looking for things related to church are going to want to see this page.
That's good.
So you'll want to have that on there. That's kind of the very basic high level stuff here, but there is such an opportunity. I am very persuaded right now that there are some churches that if they, especially maybe a large church or two, that if they really got serious about SEO strategy and started to target some keywords out there. There is a whole ministry that you could have just kind of building some campaigns around some keywords out there. But big opportunity. If you pastor a church over a couple of thousand people and want to really hit this hard, give us a ring. We'd love to talk to you about that. I think this is a golden opportunity out there right now.
Absolutely. Well said. So nothing more to add there. So hopefully all those points call, we would say there are things to go do if you can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Some calls to action there. I hope this has been helpful for people. If it has, it means a lot to us if you rate, review, subscribe. We have found that in the algorithm that comments, like I was talking before about interactivity, comments are one of the best indicators to all of these video platforms that, hey, there's something about this here. There's some value to this conversation. So leave us a comment in there. Let us know if you found something else that is kind of a hack you can do on your website to help get more traffic or see more visitors. Is there something working for your church? We'd love to know about that. Thanks so much, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we hope to catch you next week.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Reach Right podcast. We hope this episode will help you reach people the right way. Looking for more resources for your church? Check us out online at reachrightstudios.com. If this episode has been helpful to you, it would mean the world to us if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.